of Jack Benny. Jack passed away December the 26th, and December 26, 1974, that is, 12 years ago. And we're kind of rekindling those memories of Jack Benny. And on the live line with us from New York is Miss Joan Benny, the daughter of Jack Benny and Mary Livingston. Good evening, Miss Benny, and welcome to our make-believe living room here at WCAU in Philadelphia.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Fine, thank you. May I call you Joan?
Of course, please.
Thank you very much. Before we go any further, you were an adopted child, is that correct?
Yes.
Well, several listeners wrote to say that they'll be listening very closely since they weren't aware that the Bennys had a child. And I guess they're interested in the memories of one of the family whose thoughts aren't widely documented or publicized. And right here, let me inform those who may have been laboring under the impression that Joan Benny may be in the process of writing a book of unhappy memories like Mommy Dearest or Gary Crosby's book about his father, Going My Way. You're going to be disappointed. We're here to praise Jack, not bury him, to paraphrase Shakespeare's line from Julius Caesar. Joan, your mother's name was Mary Livingston, or was it Sadie Marks Benny?
Well, it was originally Sadie Marks, and I guess in the early days when they were first married, it was Sadie Marks Benny, and then at some point when she went into show business with him, because that was new to her, she really had worked at the stocking counter at the May Company. They used that on the show, and of course it was actually true. But then she went into vaudeville with him and eventually into radio. I think it was the early days of radio, and she became Mary Livingston, and shortly after that it became her legal name, and Sadie Marks was gone, and Mary Livingston took her place. I wanted to add something you mentioned about the listeners who didn't know that they'd had a daughter. Those of the listeners who remember the very early shows in the 30s, when I was very little, might remember when my father used to say, "Good night, Joanie," at the end of the show.
Yeah.
And as I recall, the show was on about 7 o'clock at night. Maybe later, it must have been later in California, because I wasn't allowed to stay up and listen to it. But I would hear the record of it the following day, and it was always so exciting to me to hear him say, "Good night, Joanie." I always wanted to yell, that's me.
He's talking about me.
Yes.
What kind of parents were Jack Benny and Mary Livingston?
Well, you know, from my point of view, that's hard to say, because they seem to me to be like anybody else's parents. The stories about my father and George Burns being close friends wouldn't be exaggerated too much. They were practically joined at the hip. They adored each other. They were together almost all the time, as were Gracie and my mother. And I was raised with Sandy, their daughter, who, by the way, was also adopted, so I think I grew up thinking that adopted was the normal way to be. I didn't know anything else. And our parents were very much alike, and their parents treated Sandy the way my parents treated me. Anyway, they seemed to be like everybody else's parents. My mother was the strict one. She's the one who did the disciplining, as did Gracie. My father was the patsy who let me have anything I wanted, and George was a bit like that with Sandy. I sort of knew at the beginning that since my father was the pushover, that it was my mother I always had to go to ask permission to do something, and she was the one who made me mind my manners, and when I got a little bit older and started dating, be home at 10 o'clock. She's right down the law.
That's the way it is in those families, believe it or not.
I was very strictly raised, by the way. And, you know, people hear about Hollywood backgrounds,
yeah,
and all the kids being spoiled. I was very strictly raised.
Mm-hmm. What was Christmas or Hanukkah like in the Benny home? Was it as gay and as frivolous as it is in anybody else's home? Of course, kind of lavish parties in the house at all?
Oh, yes. Yes. There was always an annual party, and I don't think it was New Year's Eve. I'm not sure, but there was always one party a year where the backyard was tented and there was an orchestra, and it was very lavish. During the rest of the year, they had small dinner parties, casual evenings. One of the favorite things, and this is very much a part of the so-called growing up in Hollywood, is that we ran movies, and that was a very common evening, was having a couple of friends over for dinner and then running the latest MGM film or the latest 20th Century Fox film in our living room, where there was a projection room and you had to hire a projectionist to run the 35 millimeter cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was kind of nice not going to a movie theater. I sat on the living room sofa and watched a movie.
You don't know what you missed. There's some of that popcorn is just terrible.
Oh, I learned, Gary. I learned.
Some of the guests, you're undoubtedly your father being the person that he was, and your mother, of course, also being his helpmate, undoubtedly made it right into the social register of Hollywood. And there must have been some very, very interesting guests that you remember visiting the Benny household. Can you kind of reminisce about a few of those that you can recall?
Well, I could, yes, of course. It's very funny looking back. Some of you remember in the Bobby Soxer years of the war and shortly after, Van Johnson was everybody's favorite. He was a very, very close friend of my family's, and he was also my favorite. He was my typical Bobby Sox favorite. I thought he was just adorable and wonderful. But we saw a great deal of the Jimmy Stewarts and Barbara Stanwyck, who then was married to Robert Taylor. Gary and Rocky Cooper, of course the Burnses, Frank Sinatra, and whoever he might have been married to at the time.
This incidentally is Frank Sinatra's birthday today.
Is it really?
Yes, it is. I was going to ask you a question about Frank.
Well, I'm sure he's not listening, but if he is, I love you, Frank, and happy birthday.
What kind of a guy was he?
Oh, terrific.
Was he really? You're talking now in terms of, maybe 35, 40 years ago.
Well, I've known him, I think, just about all my life.
Have you really? Yeah, well, today is his birthday today, and I'm not going to tell you how many years. I don't know that he'd want anybody to know, but it indeed.
It's probably public knowledge.
Yeah, it's probably. I think he's 72, I think, today.
Is that what? I don't even know, but he's always been, my whole life, he has been the most charming, the warmest, one of the loveliest men I've ever known.
Isn't that nice? Well, all you hear is the bad things about people, and you hear some bad things about Frank. But I am sure that those folks who know him intimately know that he is really a very nice person. The other day they had Jake LaMotta on here, and he was talking about how Frank paid the hospital bills for Joe Louis when Joe was kind of down on his luck. And
I remember.
And Frank picked up all the hospital bills for him. And that's something that most people don't know, and I guess maybe some people don't want to know. They would rather know the stuff that's written in books and people that talk about what a terrible person he is.
I want to add to that. You know, you hear about him, as you say, picking up the bills, and that's wonderful. And I'm not denigrating that in any way, because it's wonderful, and he can certainly afford it. But forgetting the financial aspects and forgetting the fact that he can afford to do things that many people can't, he is the best friend you could ever have.
Well, that's about all you can say about any person on this earth, Joan. That's the nicest thing. Joan, I'm going to ask you to hold on, or I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get back to you right after the news, and we'll continue our conversation because there's a lot more ground to cover. Is that okay?
Sure. Okay.
Thanks, and we'll get back to Joan Benny right after the news. And coming up right now is the news with Bill Smith. Please don't touch that dial.
We inform. We entertain. We're 1210. WCAU, Philadelphia. The voice of Philadelphia.
It's 37 degrees at the 1210 WCAU weather station. I'm Bill Smith, 1210 WCAU News.
Dee Hudson. Hi, thank you very, very much. And thank you, Bill Smith, for all the news. And again, welcome, a big warm welcome to the ARA services, being our good neighbors, our corporate good neighbors here on the Holiday Fund. This is WCAU. This is Philadelphia. I'm Gary Hodgson, your host for Radio Classics. And yes, we're just delighted to have on the line from New York with us Miss Joan Benny, Jack Benny and Mary Livingston's daughter. And we've been reminiscing. You there, Joan?
I'm sure here.
Okay. We've been reminiscing about some of the famous people who have seen their way into the Benny household. And from time to time, how about reminiscing for us about some of the cast personnel, the people who were actually on the Jack Benny show. You can go down the list as you remember them, and if you don't recall them very well, you know, that's okay, you can say so. Some of the people like Phil Harris and Dennis Day, folks like that.
Well, I remember them all very well. Our relationship with them was not as much a personal relationship as it was a business one. We saw a lot of them, but as I say, it wasn't you come over to my house Tuesday night and we'll go over to your house Friday night. I saw them at rehearsals. I saw them on the Sunday show. I think the only one of the cast who we saw more often and was very close to the family was Mel Blanc, and we went to visit him in Big Bear at the lake, and I remember trying to teach my father to water ski, and I used to love to get Mel to do those silly voices, and I'm sure I kept thinking, oh, poor man, I mean, he does them all the time, and I could never get enough of it, you know, Bugs Bunny, oh, do Porky Pig, the poor man was forever doing voices.
He did them all on our show. I had a pleasure of interviewing him a while back, and he did them all on the show. As a matter of fact, as he was saying,
of course. Oh, he was just wonderful and such fun. And he used to make up songs and play. I think he played the guitar. And he made up some silly song about, do you want to see Tijuana? Hey, I just remember all these funny, funny things and tried to teach Daddy to water ski. But about the rest of the cast, I mean, Phil Harris, who was married to Alice May, and I really, as I say, I saw them on Sundays, and they were all warm and lovely and, you know, just...
Yes, it's funny because when you say that to Tijuana, it brought back the sea. What's your sister's name?
Sue.
That's right.
Right.
This is WCAU's Radio Classics. I'm Gary Hodgson with a delightful lady by the name of Joan Benny, Jack and Mary Livingston's daughter. In Philadelphia, the numbers to call are 839-1210, area code 215, and in South Jersey, area code 609-541-1210. You'd like to ask Joan a question or two about, well, the Jack Benny clan. Continuing with your memories of your father and mother, was Jack the kind of guy to bring his homework with him, his work home with him, and do any creative activity at home, or did he just step into a different guise once he left the show?
He didn't bring it home with him. He lived with it. In his car, in his shower, in his room, in my room. It didn't matter where he was. The show was everything. And he loved it. He used to write the show at home. When I was a little girl, I'd come home from school and sit in on the writing sessions. The writers and my father would gather in the library, the same one I was talking about with Christmas Tree, and I would get my milk and cookies and sit in the corner and listen to them write the show. In the evenings, I would go when I came home from school, and then later Daddy would come home when he had an office. And the first thing was, you know, what did you do? Well, he was writing this sketch, and who's the guest next week, and what they were planning. He loved the show, and it was everything. And I think maybe that's why it was so good that involved with it.
That's right. He gave himself to the show, and there's no question that, you know, I asked that question really as a leading question, because it comes across when you hear the show that he couldn't possibly do a 9-to-5 job and just walk out of it.
He lived and breathed it, and it was really his show. He wrote it as much as the writers. He edited it. It was his show. It was never left to writers and a producer.
Joan, you want to field a few questions from our listening audience?
Want to.
Okay, let's go to the phones right now. Hi there, Gary Hodgson, Radio Classics. You're on with Joan Benny.
Well, hello, Gary, and hello, Joan. How are you?
Why, thank you.
Great. I'd like to ask Miss Benny, she had mentioned a little earlier about Van Johnson being one of the people that she adored. And a few weeks ago, you aired one of the programs with Van Johnson going out on a date with the two operators, which I felt was probably one of the funniest Benny shows around.
That's right.
And I don't recall whether or not Miss Benny would remember that. But I just wanted to say what a delight. It's been over the few short years I caught the tail end of radio. I came out of it. And I do remember your dad, not only from the radio, but also, too, on the television shows. And I just want to say for the number of years of all the wonderful shows he has given us all. And the nice thing is that at least the kids that are coming up today are able to hear the Jack Benny program, which I think is probably one of the finest, well-put-together programs. The format was set up well, and it was great.
Oh, yes, indeed. And thank you very, very much. You really hit it on the nose. Joan, did you hear that call?
Of course I heard it.
Isn't
lovely
that,
to hear.
Isn't that wonderful?
I just heard
that
the Star Trek airship to Maple Flat Saddle.
Yes, right.
I have to confess, I haven't heard any of those shows in a very long time.
Yeah, that was a
memory for me, too. I'd like to hear some of them.
Bee Benedetto was one of them. By the way, before we go to our next caller,
Lance Stewart was one of them.
That's right. That's right. Do you have access to a lot of that Jack Benny's, the scripts and shows and things like that?
A lot of the scripts, yes. They are in an archive at the University of Wyoming. Some of them are in an archive at UCLA in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And the things are a bit scattered around. I had quite a few of them. They were left to me, and I simply had no room for that kind of... I mean, there were, you can imagine, rooms full.
Boy, would I love to have rooms full of Jack Benny chairs.
So I donated them to the University of Wyoming.
That's nice. That's very, very nice. That way they're going to be kept for years and years to come. I'm glad to hear that. Let's go back to the phones and get another caller.
Yes, hello.
Hi there, Gary Hodgson here, and this is Radio Classics. Of course, you're on with Jack
Benny. Hello, Jack Benny.
Excuse
John Berry.
Yes.
What about Eddie Cantor? Your father was very close to Eddie Cantor. Also, Eddie Rochester, and was the Maxwell automobile the car that your father owned?
No, he never owned the Maxwell. That was a prop that was used.
I remember,
my first memory was of an old Packard touring car. But you mentioned Eddie Cantor. He lived right up the block from us.
How about that? Isn't that something... You know, the actuality, as I understand it, maybe you can even enlighten everyone on this, the Ronald Coleman's didn't actually live next door. They lived about 7-8 blocks away. Is that correct?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Of course, the way Jack did, it was always next door, so we could go and bum some sugar or flour or something like that.
Our next-door neighbors were Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Well, that's... You're still in the right neighborhood, that's for sure.
Actually, that was a bit later, and do I have a minute for a
talk
to me about that?
Sure.
Before Lucille and Desi moved in next door, some people, I believe their name was Bird, I don't remember, but the two houses are almost identical. Both of the houses are big white brick, kind of Georgian architecture, and very easy to confuse one with the other. Theirs was 1,000 and ours was 1,002. And back in the early days when the buses used to go by, the touring buses, and there were a lot of people, and of course, back then, two people were much friendlier and much more open, and there wasn't all the security. Anyway, people came up to the door, and they would ask for an autograph. They would ask for an autograph picture. They would even ask if my father was home, could they say hello to him, and if he was home, he would. It was very friendly and very nice. However, the Burrs, who lived next door, didn't appreciate getting 20 times a day, the doorbell ringing, and somebody asking for Jack Benny. So finally, in a fit of pique, we came home one day to find in the driveway of 1000 North Roxbury an enormous sign that said, Jack Benny does not live here. He lives next door, with a big arrow pointing to our house.
Oh, that is funny. Oh, that is hilarious. I can see why they moved out in a hurry. Did Lucille and Desi have the same problem, or did they have their own fans knocking on the door?
No, I think it was only that these people, you know, weren't really interested in people coming up and asking for Jack Benny. But when Lucy and Desi moved in, I mean, as I say, we were all really quite friendly, and I think in those days people did come up and ask for an autograph, and it was all kind of very nice.
Isn't that nice? That is funny. That is hilarious.
We were very neighborly, and my father practiced his violin in his bathroom, which was situated in such a way that it all, of course, echoed into my room. And then when the Arnazes moved in next door, Desi practiced his drums in the driveway. So I lived with this cavity of sound, violin and drums, not playing the same thing.
Well, I see now that your father and I have something in common. I practice my singing in the bathroom. Well, he did make a living at playing the violin, but I'll never make a living at singing, that's for sure. Let's go back to the phones and see if we have another caller here with us. Hi there, Gary Hodgson with Joan Benny.
Hello, Gary, this is Ed.
Hello, Ed.
Hi, how are you?
Yes, how are you?
Fine, doing well. Hello, Joan, very nice to say hello to you.
Thank you.
I wonder if you could tell me, John, the story, I'm not quite sure it's true or not, but I heard that your mother and father were married in Cleveland, Ohio. Is that true?
In Cleveland?
Yes, and George and Gracie stood up for them?
Pardon me?
And George and Gracie stood up for them?
No. Do you know that? Isn't that a funny question? I think they were married in Los Angeles, but do you know something? I don't know, but I don't think it was in Cleveland.
How about that? Isn't that...
Nobody's ever asked me that. All of a sudden, I'm going, my God, I should know where they were married, and I don't.
Isn't that something? Isn't that... What are you doing today, by the way? Before we run completely out of time, what are you doing today?
Today?
Well, I mean, with yourself lately. Writing a book. Have you ever...
I'm doing all kinds of things that I'm absolutely adoring. I'm lecturing around the country on partly growing up in Hollywood. I also lecture on the psychology of comedy and on the history of film comedy. I teach a course once a year in Aspen on the history of film comedy. I'm sort of still thinking about writing a book. I have a title and I have chapter headings.
Oh, boy.
The rest of the pages are blank.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. When you set pen to paper, that is going to be a book that every old-time radio aficionado, every fan of, well, Jack Benny.
I'm just afraid it won't be salacious or, you know, because he was such a wonderful man. He was such a dear person. And people buy books that aren't on the dearest.
Yeah, that's right. If I were you, don't write anything but the truth, because there's nothing more interesting than the truth. You try to varnish it or garnish it or try to play it up, and then it becomes just like every other salacious novel. And
I'm just afraid that people don't read books about nice people.
Why don't you write one, and we'll find out. I'm sure it'd sell a million, Joan. It really would. You've never thought about going on the stage or following your father and mother's footsteps and doing anything in the entertainment business.
Oh, that's not true. I was an actress for a while, and I was quite terrible. And and then I did talk shows for a while, something like what you're doing, only on television. And I was a panelist. And then I chose to get married, and all of a sudden, all these children came along. I have four.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow, housewiving and mothering seemed to be what I was enjoying the most.
And you never really had a fling at radio or TV outside of the talk show, that TV and anything like that. You never went Hollywood, so to speak.
No, I don't think I did.
You never did. How about that? That's interesting in that you had such a rich heritage. And, of course, without saying it in so many words, you certainly had access to all of the great talent. And anybody that wanted to give you a break was there at your beck and call, I'm sure. It's very interesting because that is, in my way of thinking at any rate, a real tribute to you, because you're going to be Joan Benny first and foremost, and Jack and Mary's daughter perhaps second, because you're going to do what you want to do, and you're going to live your life as we all have to do it. It's very interesting.
Well, Gary, the truth is I really enjoy both.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy being Jack Benny's daughter.
Well, that's the way it is.
A wonderful heritage, and he was a wonderful man.
And you do it entirely. You do it justice. But, you know, Joan, it's unfortunate, but our time has run out. However, please, accept our thanks for helping us to understand your father and mother, and maybe their times a little better. Those days that we here in the make-believe living room refer to as those days when radio was king. It's been a distinct pleasure for me, and as I said to you as we chatted on the telephone previously, if you ever have an opportunity to visit Philadelphia, the doors to our make-believe living room will swing open wide, and till then, we'll keep a light in the window for you.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. From all of us here at the base of the 50,000-watt radio beacon, and those folks listening in all across the 38-state swath of that beacon, as well as those who have been seated in their chair in front of the old cathedral radio here in the make-believe living room, our best wishes for a happy, prosperous new year and the very happiest of holidays to you and yours. Joan Benny, thanks so much.
Okay, thanks, Gary.
Good night, Joan.
Good night.
Well, isn't that nice? There is Joan Benny, and as I think you will agree, a very, very... And with that final merci to our special guest, Ms. Joan Benny, we come to the end of the interview portion of our show, and we turn our attention now to another more dramatic show, toward the Screen Director's Playhouse and its presentation of The Big Clock.